Having heard about all these great things happening around these nations, it is amazing to know. In that case, we come to the next question. In every church planting movement, there may be some common lessons which we may need to learn. The biblical method is the ultimate method and strategy, and I would like you to reflect much on that, Dr. Garrison.
David, as we looked at church planting movements around the world, we found that there were 10 elements that were found in every single church planting movement, and these have become sort of measuring sticks for us to see if we are aligned with God's purposes. And so I'd like to share, if I can, these 10 elements. The first one is extraordinary prayer. In church planting movements, prayer is the air that these movements breathe. It's what allows the fire to burn. Church planter in Cuba told us a story of how he said, we went to seminary on our knees, wow. By which he meant we literally prayed our way through this movement. Another fellow in Spain among the gypsies would talk about at night they would go to the mountain, by which he meant they would stay up all night praying. Wow. That was going to the mountain, spending time face to face with God. Second characteristic, universal element of these movements was abundant evangelism. A question that often permeates these movements is, how many of my people will hear the gospel today? And in church planting movements, the answer is thousands upon thousands will hear the gospel every day. One fellow said, among my people group, he said, previously no one knew Jesus. He said, but today there's a sort of a spiritual gossip about Jesus.
Wow.
He said, people are just talking about their life before Jesus, how they met Jesus, and their life since Jesus. And as a result, when thousands upon thousands of people hear about Jesus, you're going to have a lot of people respond positively to that gospel. And that's what's happening in these movements. The third element that's found in every church planting movement is intentional planting of reproducing churches. Now, there's two aspects to that. One is that it doesn't happen by accident. This is intentionality. Someone went in with an intention to start churches. And the second part, though, is that those churches were reproducible. They didn't start the kind of churches that were difficult or impossible for the local people to reproduce themselves. But with that combination of intentionality and reproducibility, very quickly you would see one church turn into two churches or three churches, and three churches become nine churches, and nine churches become, and the list goes on from there, multiplying churches. The fourth universal element that was found in every single movement, whether it was in the Latin American world or the Muslim background world or Hindu or Chinese traditional religion, was the authority of God's Word. Now, one might say, well, of course God's Word is the authority. What else could be the authority? Well, it means they didn't look to bishops or missionaries or experts. They looked to God's Word for answers. And even though the new believers might initially turn to a missionary or turn to a church planter with theological or doctrinal questions, rather than answer themselves, the missionary or church planter would respond with a question. The responding question was, what does God's Word say? And together they would search the Scriptures to see what God's Word was, because the missionary, the church planter, knew that a time would come when he or she would not be there. And at that time, only the Word of God would remain. And so they were teaching and modeling for the new believers to turn to God's Word from the beginning as the source of all their direction and authority. The fifth element that was found in every church planting movement was local leadership. This means if the churches were planted among Banjara people or among Sinhalese people, those churches were not led by Americans or British or even Tamils or Malayalams. They were led by people who were from that people group, from the Banjara people for the Banjara, from the Sinhalese people for the Sinhalese, and so forth. They had local leadership. The sixth element that was found in every movement was that the movements were driven by lay leaders. It's as if the laity had been unleashed in these movements. They were given permission to obey Jesus Christ, to win people to Christ, to disciple them, and to start new churches. And once they had that permission, once they accepted the great commission that Christ gave to them, they found there were no limits to who they could reach and what they could do in Jesus' name. The seventh universal element that was a delight and a surprise to find was that in every church planting movement, the churches were multiplying through homes. not just waiting to build buildings or to find property that they could secure for purposes of a church building. They couldn't wait because there were too many churches being started. They started the churches right there in their homes. And of course, as we searched the scriptures, we found this was the norm in the New Testament as well. There's certainly nothing wrong with a church building, nothing wrong with having property. But when a movement really starts multiplying rapidly, you don't have to wait to raise money for a building. You can meet right in your own home, with your own family, and with your neighbors. The eighth element that was found in every movement, certainly the first churches were planted by missionaries or church planters, but very soon the churches themselves realized that they could reproduce new churches. So that eighth element was churches planting churches. When churches get a sense of empowerment, a sense of vision of what is possible to start new churches, then you have a movement that very rapidly multiplies. And that is the ninth element that was found in every one of these movements. There was a rapid reproduction. You know, in our mind, in our way of thinking, we think it just takes time. It takes time to start a church, to grow a church, to reproduce a church. But something we found in every one of these church planting movements is that the people who were coming to Christ had such a passion, such an urgency to win their lost family and loved ones to Christ that they couldn't wait. They had to take the gospel to them now. And because they were meeting in homes, they couldn't just fill those homes up with hundreds and hundreds of new believers. They had to start new groups. So just as a matter of winning new people to Christ and finding places to gather them for discipleship, they invariably started new churches, new discipleship-based groups at a very rapid rate. And finally, the 10th element was something that was asked of us. They said, what kind of churches are these? Are they really healthy churches? Which caused us to do an investigation. We wanted to know, are these churches truly exhibiting healthy characteristics? And we looked to five questions to answer that. Five characteristics a healthy church has is first, worship. A healthy church is a church that worships God. A healthy church is also a church that has healthy fellowship among its members. Third is a healthy church will practice ministry. You can't be a healthy church without ministering to the needs of others. The fourth purpose that we find in a healthy church is evangelism. A healthy church will be doing evangelism and mission, reaching out to lost people. And the fifth element that you find in every healthy church is discipleship. They're growing up in Christ-likeness. And so we asked the people who are involved in church planting movements around the world, are you finding these five purposes? Are you finding worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism in all of these churches and church planting movements around the world? And they said, yes, that's what we're finding in these churches. They are healthy. They're growing more and more Christ-like over time. Together, these 10 universal elements are found in every church planting movement.